What's up, everybody? It's Michael Scotto, Hoops Hype's NBA writer and host of the Hoops Hype podcast. I hope everybody is excited for the start of NBA training camp as much as I am. With training camp upon us, no team has had a bigger offseason makeover than the Atlanta Hawks, who signed Danilo Gallinari, Bogdan Bogdanovic, Rajon Rondo, and Chris Dunn. But now, is Atlanta a playoff team? What's the future for Lloyd Pierce? Is John Collins going to sign an extension? My good friend and former colleague Chris Kirshner, the Hawks beat writer for The Athletic, joins me now to answer those questions on the pod. Chris, appreciate you hopping on the line with me, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing well. It's an honor to join you.
My man, listen, many a times we had a lot of laughs in Vegas Summer League and over the course of all those meetings and summits back in the day. It's always a pleasure to have you on. You've done great work covering this Atlanta Hawks team. You know, I've told you that while we were working together, and the same holds true now. A lot to get to, though, with these guys. They completely had a makeover. You talk about going to the spa and getting a facial. Like, my goodness, did Atlanta do that? your general manager there in Atlanta, Travis Schlenk, really totally changed the dynamic of this team. And when you look at them right now, is this team a playoff team in the Eastern Conference right now? Is that fair to have those expectations?
Well, they kind of have to be the expectation just because, ownership, Lloyd Pierce has made it clear since March, and this was well before, the Hawks overhauled their roster. It was right after a game against Memphis in March. The Hawks had just gotten their asses kicked by like 39 points, and Lloyd Pierce told a few of the reporters here in Atlanta that, you know, this is going to be a playoff team next season. And the timing of that actually kind of caught some people in the organization off guard because, again, the timing was just weird, and that wasn't really spoken about. Like, they had known at that time that they were going to, you know, be aggressive in free agency because they were going into the off season with the most amount of money available, whether it's through trades, free agency, draft, so on and so forth. So, like, they knew they were going to be aggressive, but they hadn't yet, you know, decided, okay, like, this is the player we want to target. These are the players we want to target. And obviously we know now that they targeted several of those players. But, I do think that the expectation here in Atlanta is for this Hawks team to be in the playoffs next season. With the moves they've made and the roster that they are bringing back from last season, including Trae Young, Cam Reddish, DeAndre Hunter, John Collins, Kevin Herter. They traded for Clint Capella at the trade deadline. He didn't play 1 second for them.
The forgotten as man, he was absolutely. Healing.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, he was healing from a heel injury that he sustained in late December. So he hasn't played 1 second. So, and, you know, you mentioned it. They added Bogdanovic, Gallinari, Chris Dunn. They traded for Tony Snell and got rid of Dwayne Dedmon. So you're looking at a roster that has about 10 to 12 players who are going to be expecting minutes every night. It's going to be challenging for Lloyd Pierce to figure out the minute situation because, when you're dealing with a roster that has, again, 10 to 12 players, not everybody can play. So that's going to be a challenge for him. But I do think with the talent that they have, they should, you know, be at least one of the teams in the play-in tournament. That's obviously new this year. It was instituted last year for the bubble, but this is like the first true regular season that we're going into where this is a thing. So I do think that the Hawks should be one of the play-in tournament teams, whether it's the seventh seed or eighth seed. Perhaps they can get to the sixth seed. They're going to need some things to go wrong ahead of them, whether it's teams like Boston, Brooklyn, Miami, Toronto, Milwaukee, Indiana, perhaps. So those teams are likely in better position than Atlanta, but I do think that they will be one of the seven or eight seeds in the Eastern Conference.
You know, it's interesting. You also look at the other teams in the back of the East, like the Charlotte Hornets just going out and getting Gordon Hayward. They're also trying to make a push more towards the playoffs. And so they are going to have some competition for that, one of those last playoff spots in the East. But, you know, I remember Lloyd came on the Hoopsite podcast in August, and he said that he was looking at the Toronto Raptors, Milwaukee Bucks, the Clippers, and the Nuggets about those teams that had so much depth. And he said, we want to be in that same category. We want to make a huge jump next year. And when I first heard that, I was like, all right, you know, I also wouldn't mind going out with an Instagram model, you know, too. But I one of those
Don't we
things,
all?
yeah, right. You know, one of those things is more likely than the other. Now, I'll leave it up to those listening to determine which one is which, but don't sleep. But I would say that you know, Travis Schlenk did what he was supposed to do. Like on paper, this guy made the team substantially better. Now the onus falls on Lloyd Pierce, who Lloyd has been a guy that similar to, I would kind of compare to like Brett Brown when he was in Philly. You go through those lean rebuilding years to get to this point, to try to really be able to show what you can do as a coach. He had a lot of young guys that were developing players and nurturing them and giving them minutes. Now you're going to get a chance to see, in my opinion, what type of coach Lloyd Pierce is. But with that in mind, with ownership looking not to be in the lottery again for the foreseeable future, and all the money they spent and the moves that Travis Schlenk made as the GM, now it's on Lloyd. And I think Lloyd embraces that. I definitely get that sense that, you know, he's excited to coach this team. But with that in mind, is it almost like if Lloyd doesn't have this team in playoff contention, he's on the hot seat at this point?
Yeah, I do think so. And it's kind of a shame because, you know, when you look at the roster in his first 2 seasons, it wasn't built to win. Like they went into last year with Evan Turner as their backup point guard
Who
option.
who's
The
now
guy is,
coaching, who's now a
I was
coach
about to say.
on the Celtics, which blew my mind that at 32 years old, I mean, what a time. 2020,
And
what a time.
this guy was expected to get heavy minutes last year before the start of the season, and obviously that didn't go well. So like he had Damian Jones as his center, who is softer than a lamb. I mean like these were the options that were presented toward him in these past 2 seasons, and like no coach, I don't care. You know, if Red Auerbach was coaching the Hawks in these past 2 seasons, like you're not going to win many games. So it's kind of unfortunate for Lloyd that, you know, he's entering now his first true chance to really prove that he is the right man for the job. Because again, like we were just touching on, there's going to be heavy expectations on this team. And you know, Lloyd is you know, a part of this. He has, you know, doubled down, tripled down, quadrupled down on saying this team is going to be a playoff team this upcoming season. If the Hawks are not a playoff team, you know, people are going to hold those comments over his head. You know, and I think it is interesting too that, you know, Travis himself has not come out and said this is a playoff team. Obviously, the moves that he's made would suggest that, you know, that is exactly what they're, you know, striving for. But he has not specifically said, you know, from his own mouth to reporters when asked about it. And I've asked him several times now. He has not specifically said, you know, this is a playoff team. Because again, you know, when you say something like that, reporters, fans, people around the league, your owner, you know, Tony Ressler, it's going to be held over his head. So I think that if the Hawks don't make the playoffs, you know, it's going to be hard for Lloyd Pierce to get a fourth year in Atlanta. And it's, again, it's a shame because I do think that Lloyd is a good coach. You know, you ask other coaches around the league, he's well respected. There's not, you know, it's not a mistake that he's one of the coaches on Greg Popovich's staff for the Olympic team. Like, he's no slouch. Like, he knows exactly what he's doing. But again, he hasn't had the roster in these past two seasons to really prove himself. Now he does have the roster, and it's going to be on him to, you know, get this team, you know, in playoff contention come the end of the season.
Yeah. And I mean, Lloyd's done a lot of great stuff in the Atlanta community, especially, during the Black Lives Matter movement.
Yes.
He has spoken out publicly about it and been a real figurehead for that organization as they get ready for the new season.
I do want to say, I think he is the perfect coach for this city. You know, it's a majority Black city. And Lloyd, like you were saying, he's very outspoken, very involved in the community. Maybe if you're a casual watcher of the NBA, like, you don't know who Lloyd Pierce is, but you know, just as an Atlanta resident and a minority myself, just what Lloyd has done in this city has been absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I mean, Lloyd,
with the election just happening earlier this month, you know, Lloyd himself and Steve Koonin, the CEO of the Hawks, were really instrumental in pushing for State Farm Arena to be a polling place. It's the largest polling place in the history of the state. Over 40,000 people voted at the arena. And because of the Hawks' efforts, that was spread across the NBA. We saw it in some colleges. I think some NFL teams did it. So he's been so instrumental with that. And what's unfortunate about this business that, you know, you and I know is that, yeah, that stuff is great. It's awesome. Like, you are a great ambassador for the city. You're a great ambassador for the NBA. But ultimately, what you're judged on is wins and losses. And if he doesn't win, then, you know, it's probably likely that Atlanta will have a different coach next season.
Well, you know, for Lloyd, certainly I agree with you. There's a lot of pressure on him to deliver some results this year. But I would also say that Lloyd, I think, was a straight shooter about it. I think they absolutely are a team that should contend for the playoffs, given everything that they did. And in speaking about some of those guys that they brought into the fold with this team, the first one I want to start with is my paisan, Danilo Gallinari. you know, when Gallo was first here in New York, Little Lily was going to build a statue for him. he played well here, and obviously he was a big part of the reason why they were able to trade for Carmelo Anthony. The past couple of seasons with the Clippers and the Thunder, he's been able to stay healthy and play well for both of those teams, and you know, obviously it led to him getting this multi-year deal with Atlanta. Now, for Danilo Gallinari, what is going to be his role? Because I could have sworn I saw some stuff about him coming off the bench. And I'm just going to say that you don't pay a guy $20 million to come off the bench. And if he is technically coming off the bench, guy better be playing close to 30 minutes.
Yeah, and I do think that's going to be the case, because when you look at the roster currently, whatever you think about Gallinari's fit on this team, and even other teams, I know some fans are thinking, well, Gallinari can play the three. No, he can't play the three because he's not quick enough to guard opposing threes. Like, do you want Gallinari on the wing, like going up against Kawhi, LeBron? Like, no, you can't have that. Sure, like, it might work for some minutes, like, you know, definitely in some opposing matchups where you know, opposing teams don't have a dynamic scorer where you can get away with that. You can have a lineup at the 3-4-5, Gallinari, Collins, Capella. Sure, it might work, but most of the time, especially in the playoffs, like, I can't see that working. And I do think that Collins is going to be the starting power forward if he is on the roster come opening night. And I do think that's going to be the case. So, yes, and you know, when you pay someone over $20 million per season, you're paying him that amount to start. I just don't think that's happening. And I do think it's kind of fine for the Hawks just because of their salary cap situation that they were in. Like, they had a $44 million to spend, and they have to spend it on somebody. And, you know, Gallinari fills a couple of needs for the Hawks. They needed another a four, and they needed someone who can make threes. They were the worst three-point shooting team in the league last year, 33.3%. You know, Gallinari in his past two seasons, over 40%. You know, since he's come into the league, he's been one of the most consistent three-point shooters in the NBA. So you add someone like him to the roster, and, you know, that's great because, you need shooters around Trey. You need shooters around Herter, Bogdanovich, whoever's going to be, you know, in control of that offense most of the time. So I do think that, you know, people might look at it and say, like, you know, why is this guy coming off the bench? But for this roster, I do think it does make a little sense.
I mean, they could play Collins at the five and Gallo at the four if they need. Sure. And there are other times when I think putting him at the three, if you're trailing in a game, I'm fine with it. Spread the floor for Trey. Right. And, you know, one of the things I remember in talking Lloyd a while ago was, you know, Trey Young's ability to shoot the ball 30 feet out. You know, Gallo could do the same thing. I'm not saying he's going to do that every time, but you talk about maximum floor spacing. You know, he can provide that. And, you know, one of the guys you touched on before we go over the rest of the free agent guys that they did, you touched on John Collins and about him playing the four. And if, you know, he stays on the roster as expected, that he would be the starting four. There's no question about that for me. The question I think a lot of people are monitoring around the league are, where are those extension talks with John Collins and the Hawks? Because John is a guy that I know other teams around the league have monitored closely because they are enamored with his talent. And if a guy like that became available, he would command a lot in trade talks. But I still think John Collins has a fit and a role here in Atlanta for the long term with this team. And I think that it makes sense for them to get a deal done. I don't know if he's going to get the full max, but I still think, from my sense, both sides want it. John Collins has said it publicly. He said it to you. He said it on the Hoopside podcast. He wants to get it done. At the end of the day, you know, it's like, I don't know, it's like swiping right on a dating app. If you swipe right and the other person matches, then you should be able to go out. I don't think it should be this rocket science here. So when you look at John Collins, what do you see for his future and possibly getting an extension done before the season?
Well, I do know that both sides would like to get something done. That's been expressed both publicly and privately. You know, I remember talking with John at the start of last season in training camp in October of last year. And, you know, he was telling me that, you know, he loves Atlanta. He wants to be here. He wants to be a building block alongside Trae Young. You know, the issue is that he might come across, if, you know, he remains, if he is adamant about being a max player. And I mean, you and I both know that he's not a max player. He's a very good player. He's someone who can possibly get around $100 million, and that's obviously life-changing money and, you know, can set up his family for the rest of eternity. But, you know, if he remains adamant that he wants a deal that is around, you know, Bam Adebayo's contract, like, he's going to be waiting until next summer, possibly, because it's not happening this year. It's just not.
If he became an all-star this year, which I know is one of his goals, and, you know, he remains a 20-10 guy, it would only help his cause, certainly. But I think, sure. I think that would be, if he can become an all-star with Trey, I think that would ultimately help him in negotiations, for sure.
Yes, if he can become an all-star with this roster now, obviously, like there are several more options now. Last year, he was the number two option. This year, he might still be the number two. Again, you got guys like Gallinari, Bogdanovich, Capella now, who you would assume are going to factor into him scoring fewer points this year. But if he can still put up 20-10 and shoot over 40%, I believe his true shooting was 66%, which is absolutely absurd for someone who plays the way he does. You know, yes, then next summer, sure. You can once again say that you're a max player and you want the max. And if you don't get it, then, you can go elsewhere or force your way out. But if the two sides can come to an agreement this year on a number that makes sense for both sides, then a deal will get done. It's as simple as that. Both sides want to get something done. I do think that for Collins and his representation, I do think that they're going to come to their senses of if Collins truly wants to remain in Atlanta, and he wants to get a deal done this summer, which he's publicly said he wants to get a deal done, not this summer now, but this offseason, and that's what he wants, then he's going to have to come to a realization that he's not going to get max money. And again, if he can get a deal around $90 to $100 million, then if he's okay with that, then I do think that the Hawks would be okay with that as well.
Well, time will tell. We'll see what happens with Collins, but I certainly look for him to have another monster season statistically, and Atlanta's going to need it ultimately. But, as we started to touch on earlier too, you got other guys that Atlanta brought in to help this team win now. We touched on Gallo a little bit, but Bogdan Bogdanovich, boy, you talk about an entanglement. From going to the Bucks to not going to the Bucks, then the Hawks dropping the bag to get this guy in free agency. Got paid pretty well, to be a guy that spaced the floor. But I'm curious, when you look at his fit on the Hawks, they've got guys like Kevin Huerter, they've got Cam Reddish, they've got some guys that play around his position. What is going to be Bogdan's role with this team, and especially coming off that money he just got?
Well, I think he walks into Atlanta as the starting two guard. And what that means, obviously, is Kevin Huerter, the incumbent starting two guard, is going to move to the bench, and his role will be reduced in some capacity. I don't think it's a situation where, you sign Gallinari and give him, 20.5 per year, and you expect him to start. I don't think it's like that, just because Collins is clearly deserving of starting at the four, whereas Huerter, and I like Huerter. I think he's a solid player, but Bogdanovich does things better than Huerter at this stage in pretty much almost every single facet. Ball handling, playmaking, a little better, might be a little better defensively. Both guys are not good defenders currently, but he just does things better than Huerter. And I do think that he walks into Atlanta as the starting two guard. And, from my perspective, covering this team now, this is going to be my third season. Like they needed someone like Bogdanovich, who is a proven secondary playmaker. He can run he can be the primary engine if Trey's sitting and he's still on the floor. They can work Trey off ball more than they have in these past two seasons. I think that's going to add a new wrinkle to the Hawks' offense, which has just been, Trey running pick and roll at the top of the key over and over and over and over and over again. I think that will help Atlanta diversify its offense and get more guys involved. So I do think that, out of the signings that they had this year, this one is probably going to be the most impactful long term, just because, you know, now you have someone in the backcourt who you can pair Trae Young with. I think the one thing that I am concerned about, again, is that defense. You have to, when you have a young Bogdanovich backcourt, you have to have good defenders in the front court. That's putting a lot of stress on Collins and Capella, maybe DeAndre Hunter or Cam Reddish at the three. You have to hope that those guys are really good defensively. And I think some Hawks fans think that Capella is this like all world defender. He's good. He's fine. But he's not, you know, a Rudy Gobert or Anthony Davis or Giannis type of defender.
Yeah, you know, Atlanta, you talk about the defensive struggles that they could have with some of the guys that they brought in. You know, they certainly seem to be heading towards a run and gun kind of team right now. But that said, they did bring in Chris Dunn, who was second in the league in steals last year, and they bring in Rajon Rondo, a proven champion, a leader, a clutch playoff performer, a guy who's going to mentor Trae Young. Also a guy I could see down the line becoming a coach. I've heard some whispers that that's something he would actually like to do down the line. So that would be interesting. Who knows? Maybe he could be maybe not as quick as Evan Turner did going from player to coach, but I digress. When you look at Rondo and Dunn for Atlanta, what do you see for the two of them, especially a guy like Rondo? Who's, is he going to play with Trae Young? Is Chris Dunn going to play with Trae Young in the backcourt at the same time?
I thought the Rondo signing was a little strange, just because as we've seen over the past few years, Rondo has not really been fully engaged in the regular season. I know Lakers fans, you know, before the bubble started, they, you know, they probably couldn't care less if Rondo showed up or if he didn't, just because, you know, he just wasn't really good last year for the Lakers in the regular season. He was obviously totally different in the playoffs and a key reason why the Lakers were so dominant. So it's going to be interesting to see what version of Rondo the Hawks get, if he's fully engaged and buys in and, you know, wants to be a mentor for Trae and the other young guys on the roster, then that's great. If not, then I don't really necessarily know why they spent $15 million on him. Just because they have someone like Chris Dunn who can, you know, is a really, really good defender, high level defender, can play alongside Trae. I can't, maybe Lloyd will have Trae and Rondo play together at some points. I can't really see that working for long stretches of time. Whereas I think that, you know, Chris is really bad offensively, but when you have someone like Trae on the floor with him, it, you know, those offensive struggles aren't as pronounced as they would be if they had someone else running point guard. But for the Hawks, I think getting someone like Dunn, who is, you know, one of the best perimeter defenders in the league, he was on my second team all defense this past year. For the awards, it's really important because, as you and I know, the Hawks have been absolutely dreadful defensively. They gave up 119 points per game last season. I remember, I think it was December, they gave up 143 to an absolutely dreadful Knicks team. I think you were at that game, actually.
Oh, real quick about that story. We got to share that for some of the listeners here. We, in a rare occurrence, the Knicks finished their head coach's post game interview, and I was hanging out in the hall, and, you know, waiting on Lloyd with you, and Lloyd just didn't come out, and I'm looking at you going, is like my watch broken? What's going on here? And then he finally comes out, and you walked into that locker room, and it was just like a pin could drop.
Yeah.
That was definitely a defining moment for them in that young core. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall in there.
Yeah, I mean, it was very lifeless after that game. And, it was, I think it was during one of their 10 game losing streaks last year. They had two of those, very, very fun, very fun season to cover last year, as you can tell. But so I do think that for the Hawks, getting someone like Dunn, especially for that price, it was surprising to me that he didn't get a bigger contract, because, you know, he is one of the best defenders in the league, and yes, his offense is really, really bad and practically a zero. But when you have someone like him on the roster, you can do a lot of different things, especially if you have, you know, the shooters on the floor like the Hawks project to have.
I was shocked too that Chicago just didn't even give him a qualifying offer.
Right.
Personally, that just surprised me, because I mean, I know it's a new regime with Arturis Karnisovas, but I still thought he was an asset. When you're second in the league at steals, you've clearly got some value there. Now, I don't know if you remember this, but when Chris Dunn came out, you know, there were some people that said he could be the next Dwayne Wade or something. You know, you get these player comparisons and the high of the highs and the lows of the lows. That didn't pan out, obviously, but a very serviceable player at that, and a really good defender and a useful NBA player. I was just surprised that, like I said, Chicago didn't tender him a qualifying offer, but hey, worked out for Atlanta to get him, and I know that Travis was happy. I saw his press release statement about getting a guy like that. So this is going to be – I look at this team right now, it's like a pot of stew. You got a lot of different ingredients here. Now, I don't know how everybody else makes it, but, you know, my mother has the filet mignon. We don't do stew meat. We go big. We got the filet mignon. You got some potatoes. You got some carrots. You got some peas. You're mixing it all together. I feel like the Atlanta Hawks have a bunch of different ingredients right now that they didn't have in the previous couple of years. Like we've touched on, they've got shooting now in Gallinari and Bogdanovich. They've got some defense in Rondo and Dunn. A veteran locker room presence, especially in Rondo. I know, you know, in talking with Travis and Lloyd over the years, that they do value that veteran leadership. Some guys have panned out better than others. You know, I think Rondo, they hope, is going to be the next Jeremy Lin and have a positive impact on and off the court as a leader. For you, I think you're going to have a fun season. I really do. And I think you're going to go to the playoffs with them. Now, I don't know if you're going to go there in person or virtually. Who knows where we stand with all that stuff in a couple of months, but this is going to be a fun season for you.
Yeah. I mean, for, you know, the past two seasons, in my first season covering them, they won 29 games. This past season, they won 20 games. So if they can win at least 30 games, I think that'll be a success for me. And I do think that, you know, again, with the talent they have now, adding to their young core, I really do think that there's no reason why, you know, when game 65, 6, 67, 68, like when those games come around, you know, I do think that the Hawks should be in playoff contention, or have that already wrapped up in being one of those 8 seeds in the Eastern Conference. I just think that, you know, with the talent they have, and I really do think that Lloyd is a good coach, and he's going to be able to prove that this year. There's really no reason to think that teams like Charlotte, Chicago, Washington, those teams who you think are Orlando, those teams are probably going to be Atlanta's biggest competition for the eighth seed if that's where they end up. You know, just looking at their rosters, it's very clear, at least in my opinion, that out of those teams that I just mentioned, Atlanta has the best team. And if everything goes well, if no one gets sick, and that's a big if this year, you know, there's no bubble this year. You know, if you have someone get sick and you have, say Trae Young is sick and he misses 2 weeks and he still has symptoms at the end of the, the protocol and has to miss more time, that's obviously going to affect their season. If Trey is around John Collins or Clint Capella and, you know, they have to miss time, you know, that could definitely throw a wrench in their season. So if everything goes smoothly, there's no sicknesses, there's no major injuries, I really do think that this roster has enough to get to the playoffs.
And you touched upon it being enough to get to the playoffs and playing meaningful games. We've seen the face of the franchise, Trae Young, talk about the importance of that and wanting to be in the playoffs and wanting to play those meaningful games. What does this do for Trae Young, who became an all-star last year, a guy that, you know, always is getting compared to Luka Doncic after the trade between both of those teams? What does this do for him and his growth as a player and trying to make him happy?
I think it's very important because, you know, like you mentioned, you know, he's always going to be compared to Luka. If Trae wins 5 MVPs, he's still going to be compared to Luka. If Luka wins 0 MVPs and Trae wins 5, he's still going to be compared to Luka. That's just how it goes. And I think for him, you know, he's one of those players that I think epitomizes the social media era very well. You know, he sees the comments, he sees what people are saying. You know, I think he's grown a little bit over these past two seasons, and he doesn't let that necessarily affect him as much as it did in his rookie season. Just from talking with him and people close to him, it really did affect him. And I think that now that he has a roster around him that is talented enough to make it to the playoffs, I think, for one, he's happy with the moves. I do know that he is excited to get the season underway and really show that he can win, because like I was saying before, in my last answer, this team's won 29 games in his first season and then 20 this past year. So he wants to erase that narrative and label on him that he can't win. His style of play can't win. He wants to prove that, you know, now that he has a roster around him that is filled with actual legitimate NBA players, and he doesn't have to, you know, rely on guys like Allen Crabb and Evan Turner and Chandler Parsons. Like, he doesn't have these guys who are just on the roster for expiring contracts. So he has a roster now that can prove that he is ready for this. He can lead a team. He can lead a team that, you know, could possibly make noise in the first round of the playoffs. You know, I know for a fact that he wants to prove all these things.
Yeah. And for Trae, I mean, you know, look, he's shown a lot of talent. This guy could pull up from the logo at any time and make a three. I think a lot of people around the league are looking forward to seeing him have a competitive roster around him, because I think in a way there could be a stigma that, and this goes for any guy that puts up stats on a losing team. Well, how does he affect winning? I think for the first time in Trae Young's career, we're going to get to find out the answer to that question and really see how much he moves the needle. You look at what Luka's done in Dallas, and he's kind of been a transformative player, but they also have some guys around him. They have guys in Porzingis, Tim Hardaway Jr., other guys that were better equipped to play now. So we're going to finally get to see the answer for that with Trae. But, you know, I expect a lot out of this Atlanta team next year. I do expect them to make the playoffs. And, folks, I also expect a lot out of Chris Kirshner and his coverage of the Hawks next year. You can follow Chris on Twitter, at Chris Kirshner. My man, I want to thank you for hopping on the line with me, as always. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sad that I probably won't be making any stops in New York, because this virtual stuff on Zoom sounds like it's going to continue for the foreseeable future. So sad that we're not going to be able to meet up and hit up some bars in New York City.
Well, my man, once we get everything straightened out, we get a vaccine, I definitely look forward to reuniting with you. And Until then, though, it's definitely been a pleasure. But like I said, I expect a lot of big things out of that team and you next year. Thanks again for coming on. I want to thank everybody else for tuning in as well to the podcast. If you want to hear more episodes of the Hoops High Podcast with players, coaches, and media personalities like Chris, make sure you like and subscribe to it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere else that you listen to podcasts. You can also keep up with my tweets on Twitter at Mike A. Scotto. Until next time, I'm your host, Michael Scotto, wishing you and yours all the best.